Welcome to Atlanta Housing Unlocked, a podcast about creating equitable, affordable housing, elevating people, and transforming neighborhoods in the city of Atlanta.
And we are back. It is the Atlanta Housing Unlocked podcast, brought to you by Atlanta Housing, guys. This is where we gather great minds. This is where we talk about empowering people, invigorating our community, and specifically affordable housing, because that's what we all need to talk about. It's a crisis happening. We can't escape it. And I'm your host, Egypt Sherrod, but we're going to talk about solutions. Now, you guys know me from Married to Real Estate on HGTV. I've been the host of Property Virgins, Flipping Virgins. I am an Atlanta real estate broker, Indigo Road Realty. So you know that this is the very heart of who I am. I'm here authentically because I want to be here and have the conversation that's affecting us all. We've got some very incredible minds joining us today. The first thing to know is it takes a village. It really does. And I think many of us, when we hear affordable housing, we disassociate. If it doesn't apply, I disassociate. What I challenge you to do is lean in, because it really does affect us all. This is something that just reverberates generationally. If a child has a stable home, then the entire world unlocks. That's why it's the podcast Unlocked. The entire world unlocks for that child's future. And so you can be a part of that by simply leaning in and taking a seat at the table, because the table is right here, and be a part of the solution. And that's what we're going to get into today. Every single day, a team of dedicated and talented individuals ensures that Atlanta Housing is run efficiently, it's run effectively. And by strengthening its operations, Atlanta Housing can be more impactful. We can serve even more families across Atlanta. It's critical. It is critical to fulfilling Atlanta's five-year strategic plan, which was developed with input from Atlanta residents, stakeholders, and partners. It's quite a milestone when Atlanta Housing released this five-year strategic plan, which, by the way, we're going to outline today and see how we're doing with it, okay? But the plan covers more than just housing. It also explains how the agency shows up in the community, how they partner, how they build better lives for residents. And in order to do all of those things I just talked about, Atlanta Housing's team has to ensure that the management of the agency is centered on better serving its residents. And so leading that effort is the COO, Terry Lee. And Terry is the Chief Operating Officer of Atlanta Housing. She previously served in the City of Atlanta's Department of City Planning. And after 14 years of leadership, Terry was appointed, y'all get this, as the CHO. I love saying that, right? She's the head CHO in charge. She was appointed.
I'm gonna use that.
And that, right? I like that. I like that. Don't worry, I won't copyright it. You can use that. Chief Housing Officer is what it stands for. And she was appointed by former Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms. As CHO, Terry galvanized five city housing agencies to collaboratively produce thousands of affordable units, deploying nearly $1 billion in public funds. I mean, come on, right? Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you. We were having a good old conversation before we started. We're going to bring that in. We have so much to talk about. But also joining us today is Larry Stewart, the chairman of the Atlanta Housing Board of Commissioners. As a board member, he played a key role in reviewing and approving the agency's ambitious five-year strategic plan. He works with the board and other leaders to ensure affordable housing is attainable for those in need. And here's the thing, guys. He doesn't get paid for this role. All this work, all this planning, and he's volunteering. So that tells you about the passion and the drive in these folks we're going to talk to. But when you're not on the board, Larry, tell us what you are doing. Because you run your own consulting firm, yes?
Yes, I have a consulting firm where we focus on product management, product development, for anything that's software, anything that takes code. Mm-hmm. That's the work that I do. I'm a technologist at heart, where innovation is the center of the things that I do. I know we had talked earlier about being on the front foot of some areas. And yeah. So I've done that for most of my career. And I'm back in that space again while I do the work that we do at Atlanta Housing.
Listen, before we get into the five-year strategic plan, I want folks to know more about you guys, because these are some pretty extraordinary minds here. We've had some amazing conversation, just the passion. Mm-hmm. I asked them their reason why. Like, why this? Why this career? Why do you do what you do? And Terry, please share with them what you were telling me.
Oh, absolutely. And again, thank you so much for having us on the show today. This work, this is really God's work. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't understand it up until probably my appointment to chief housing officer. But many years ago, when I ventured into graduate studies, I wanted to major in finance. I wanted to really work on public finance and be the guru that controls all the money and the investment opportunities.
The Cho.
The Cho.
No, you're going to say it like this, the Cho.
The Cho. And in order to pay for grad school, because I come from a family that was economically challenged, only way I could pay for grad school was to take a fellowship that required me to do studies and an intern in community and economic development. And so literally back in 1995, I started working on how to help communities in Mississippi and the Mississippi Delta really not only better themselves, but have access to affordable housing, have access to clean water, to understand what decisions need to be made in order to theoretically plan a city for success and for growth. And what I understood when I became the Cho.
you can't unsay it now, right?
Yeah.
You
gotta, what I understood in that moment when Mayor Bottoms announced my appointment was that this work, this opportunity, because it really is an opportunity, and it's a gift to be able to serve so many. But this work really, quite honestly, is my life mission and my purpose. I ventured to Atlanta in 2004 under then Mayor Shirley Franklin, really to work at the City of Atlanta in its planning department, lifting up affordable housing. And today I stand before you with the opportunity to lift up affordable housing for Atlanta Housing. And we serve a population of people who, quite honestly, but for our assistance, would not have a place to stay. Mm-hmm. And the culmination of all that for me is a blessing, just to be able to give back every day. And while I get paid for this work, I will say—
Probably not enough, though.
Yeah, I will say that you cannot do this work without the heart for it, mm-hmm. and without people surrounded around you that are able to, it takes a village. And that village has to be large, because this work is not easy, but it's so dearly important. Atlanta Housing is the stabilizing force, helping to make sure that the kids that we serve, the families we serve, have a decent place to stay so they don't have to worry about housing while they're focusing on their education, while they're focusing on their work.
You know, and thank you for that. Mm-hmm. And I can tell the passion really is authentic. It's true. I mean, because mm-hmm. we started before we even began the podcast. Yeah. But I know there are many different type of folks listening. There are those who want information on affordable housing. There are people, investors looking for the opportunities. There are those who want to just have an understanding as well. And I want to hear from you, Larry, as well, your reason why. But really where I was going is I think for everybody, it may prove to be very refreshing to see you guys sitting here and saying, they look like me. You know, their story is not too far off of mine. And when you start talking about agencies, people think it's just like some big corporate, you know, folks sitting high up on the hog on the table mm-hmm. who have no idea of what their daily grind is or daily struggles are. But now we're able to put faces sure. to people and put stories to people so they understand that there really is compassion, mm-hmm. heart, drive, spirit behind it. But Larry, what's your reason?
Yeah, so I'll give you my why, but I want to touch on what you said because it's important. I know we've joked about pay versus volunteer. Nobody who does this work, whether they're volunteering or getting paid a salary for it, without having a heart for this work.
That's mm-hmm. right.
This work is hard work. I've said it. I didn't realize it when I came on board. I mean, getting named to this board, this was not, you know, there are lots of sexy boards where you come into it and you bring what you think is, hey, I'm going to sprinkle a little of my genius on this four times a year and things will flower from that, right? Well, this work, no, you got to put some heart, some time, some energy. It's a learning curve. I think I'm a better board member and hopefully a better board chair this year than I was last year mm-hmm. as a result of just really sinking in, mm-hmm. visiting residents, spending time with the people mm-hmm. who do this work. And so I want to make sure I'm not flippant mm-hmm. about that part, right? Because mm-hmm. it's kind of like teachers. Teachers don't get paid enough. No one who goes into teaching is doing it for a dollar.
Let me tell you, as a mother of three, getting through COVID, I never appreciated teachers more than I appreciate when I was teaching at my kitchen counter. But
That's right. So anyway, so I wanted to just frame that before I got to the why. So my why, you know, is there, again, God leads you in spaces that you had no idea on. Like I said, I'm a technologist. I like to innovate things, like to build new things. That's what my whole career has been about, working with startups and really small businesses in that realm. And so I'm close friends with our mayor, our now current mayor, Andre Dickens. We went to school together. He needed some help during a stint while he was a city council member. And that's how I got introduced to Terry as chief of his chief of staff. So as chief of staff, we were working on inclusionary zoning and inclusionary zoning that helped produce units because he was like, well, I don't have the power of the mayor's seat at this time, but I do have the power to try to do something to try to help people get more units. And so I was the guy who had to help get that legislation over the fence. So I learned about affordable housing through that. So I was the young guy who didn't know much of anything, but was learning on the fly. And when I left that job, I was like, I don't want to leave this work because it touched me.
I'm curious.
Yeah.
When you were a young kid, what did you think you would be doing with your life? What was your goal? Tell the truth. What was it?
I thought I would be a lawyer.
What about you, Terry?
Interesting. I thought I would be a lawyer, too.
Me, too. Yeah. I literally thought I was going to be an entertainment attorney. Yeah. But we talked about this.
Yeah.
We make plans for our life. Yeah. God laughs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So our best bet is to get out of the way and let him work,
right?
Yes. Use us as vessels. And so now we found ourselves in the position to influence, to inspire, uplift, and create. Right?
Yes.
As well. So let's get into this 5-year strategic plan. Number one, I want to understand all the facets of it.
Yeah.
What is the plan? Walk us through it first, and then we got to know how we're doing on this plan.
That's right.
No, absolutely. And so I have had the awesome privilege of working on every plan that's been done in the city of Atlanta since 2004. Great housing in great neighborhoods, affordable workforce house implementation plan under Mayor Shirley Franklin, the Invest Atlanta Affordable Housing Strategy under Mayor Reed, the Affordable Housing, the One Atlanta Housing Affordability Action Plan under Mayor Bottoms, the implementation strategy that Mayor Dickens is moving forward, and now, of course, Atlanta Housing's Plan. And I will tell you, the beautiful component of our plan is that it not only looks at how we can be hyper-focused on creating more housing opportunities, but it really has people at the nucleus of it. Mm-hmm. Everything we do is how do we understand that it's not just about counting a unit, but it's using housing as the bedrock to uplift a family's life.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you think about our plan, we start off first with the sexy number, right? We are going to create or preserve 10,000 units.
Well,
the mayor's
charge was 20,000 was his goal, 20,000. Mm-hmm. Of that 20,000, Atlanta Housing has 10,000.
Yes, we will.
So 50%.
That's correct. Atlanta Housing will influence the creation and preservation of 10,000 units of the mayor's overall goal of 20,000 units. And the mayor's goal spans over 8 years. The course of our plan is from what we call fiscal year 2022 to fiscal year 2027. And so when you think through that create and preserve 10,000 units, that is looking at not just new production that'll take place on vacant land that Atlanta Housing has within its inventory, but it will also look at preserving the opportunity for affordability. We incentivize over 117 properties across the city. How can we make sure we don't lose those affordable units? Additionally, homeownership. We believe in creating wealth building opportunities, and we know for folks that are Black and brown that that's the best way to do it would be homeownership. Mm-hmm. And so we're looking at homeownership as a component of that as well. The second goal is really being intentional about enhancing our resources for the families that we serve. Mm-hmm. We serve on an annual basis about 25,000 families. And what's really important about that is the folks that we touch on a daily basis, their annual income, 96% of those individuals' annual income is less than $25,000.
Mm-hmm. Is that a fact?
Less than $25,000. And the average profile of a family that we work with is a family that's headed by a female with at least 2 children. And again, educational attainment is at a high school diploma level, and annual income is between $25,000 to $26,000 a year.
So I just got chills.
Mm-hmm.
You just described my mother.
Yeah,
that was my mother when she had my sister and I. I was sharing this with on another podcast episode.
Yeah,
and so, I wouldn't be sitting where I am today if not for programs that gave folks a hand up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And not to digress, that's my mother, mm-hmm. right? With three children. And I wouldn't be sitting here today. We grew up in a mobile home mm-hmm. in Grambling, Louisiana. And but for the federal government providing resources for mom to own her first home mm-hmm. that she still lives in today, I would not have even understood the importance of having a house at all. So mm-hmm. I get it. And we do this work for our moms, mm-hmm. right? We do this work for the legacy and the gift that they've placed within us in order to make a difference in somebody's life. So, mm-hmm. And so that leads me to creating opportunities. You know, the third goal is how do we create opportunities for folks that we serve to thrive, right? To have economic self-sustainability mm-hmm. and to really have that leg up. You know, we understand that, it's not just about housing. Housing is the fundamental foundation. And if there was ever a time we saw that, it was in the pandemic. Everything shut down.
Oh, yeah.
People were told that you have to go home. Well, what happens if you don't have a home? You don't have a home to go to.
Yeah.
What happens if you don't have access to technology?
Ooh, that's
right.
Real.
Right? That's you know, and God forbid, what happened if you don't have resources just to put food on the table?
That's right.
And so we are about making sure that our families have a way to thrive, that our families have access to food, that they have access mm-hmm. to technology resources, that we influence workforce development opportunities in helping to make sure our families have, can quite honestly be functional in this environment and this society that we live in. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we said we were going to do three more things, right? We want to be intentional about making sure that we are utilizing the resources at our fingertips, at our footsteps, more efficiently and more effectively. And that's really just having a better infrastructure, a better corporate infrastructure to lift up this work. Next to that would be communications. And really kind of the story we're telling here today. How mm-hmm. do we do a better job at telling our story? I tell you, I've been in this city now for 19 years. 16 of those years were spent with the city of Atlanta. City of Atlanta's government. I learned more, and I was the city's liaison to Atlanta Housing. Mm-hmm. I literally learned more about Atlanta Housing 2 months into my role as chief operating officer than I knew the entire time I was with the city of Atlanta.
What now?
Right.
So that alone tells you a lot.
It told me a whole lot because it wasn't because I wasn't asking, and it's definitely not because I'm not a driver. It was the agency was not telling this story.
That's right.
And there was great work that was being done. Now, there were areas we needed to focus on and we needed to strengthen, but there was great work that was being done. There were people we were touching, and we were not telling the story.
Can we pause in that just a minute and really lean in? Because there was so much wisdom in just telling the story.
Mm-hmm.
That goes beyond even housing.
Yeah.
How do we not repeat cycles by knowing from whence we came, right?
Yes.
How do we raise up people, our next generation, to be better than what we are now from knowing from whence we came? But if we don't share the stories, then how do we get to the glory?
Yes.
Right?
That's right.
Yes.
So it's just so much power in that. And especially now, where we have so much technology mm-hmm. at our fingertips, so many ways to communicate that this is it. This is the heart of it. This is how we start the change.
That's right.
And that's what really makes the work fun, right? So when you're sitting there, you're doing this work, and it's hard work, but it's also hard work. Mm-hmm. And when you're doing this work, if you're lifting up a development project and you're never seeing a mere mention of it or a thank you behind it, that does something to your psyche.
Start to feel like it's...
You start feeling like it's not important and you're not making a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And from a humanistic standpoint, we all need to know we're making a difference.
Yeah.
And it was, and I'll never forget, it was November 10th, I believe, 2020, when they held my orientation. And the more people were talking, and someone said, well, we can tell you this now because you're part of our family. And I said to that team member, I've always been a part of your family. We just now need to make sure we tell others.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about telling me.
And so magnification
of the message.
Yeah.
And again, understanding that the work we do, the opportunity we have, is not just about building a housing unit. It's not just about transforming a neighborhood, but it's about transforming a life. And how we use it from that standpoint.
And that's what a CHO does. Thank you for articulating that in such a beautiful, meaningful way.
And there was one last goal. And I think this one feeds into really the culmination. And quite honestly, our our new board that was that came on last year actually added the goals around communication and partnership. Mm-hmm. But it's just that partnerships to do this work and to lift it up at the magnitude that we need to do. We have to form new partnerships, mm-hmm. and we have to enhance the relationships that we currently Indeed. Have. My cousin's a pastor in Stone Mountain, and he's always said that if you can do something by yourself, if you have an idea that you can accomplish, you're not thinking big enough. And so partnerships is what's critical to make sure that we take Atlanta Housing to the next level. Atlanta Housing 3.0, as my chairman would say.
Yes. And so Larry, as the chairman,
yes.
you know what? I just want to slow it down a bit. This is such a great conversation, and we're really getting the meat and potatoes here. What does the Board of Commissioners play? What role do you guys play in ensuring the affordable housing and meeting the mayor's goal of this 20,000 affordable housing units in 8 years? I mean, that's 20,000 units mm-hmm. in 8 years is a lot. It's a lofty goal. How are we doing on that target so far with the 10,000?
With the 10,000, we're right at 2,200 units.
We're okay. Yeah. And we're okay. How many years in?
We are within our first year.
First year. That's right. Okay, that's great.
Yes.
And so we're on track.
So talk about the role that the board plays.
Sure, yeah. So the role of the board, it's a simple piece, right? We approve, our great staff will bring forth all the resolutions to make sure that any of the fiduciary responsibility that we have is handled, right? Mm-hmm. So we're going to ensure we have, I think, governance over who our CEO is. So the CEO reports to us, right? We are not really to be in the day-to-day operations. So
it's oversight.
It's oversight. Mm-hmm. It's vision, right? Yeah. And so those are the things that we play in. Now, what I will say is typically where people have typically grounded themselves is that the mayor tells the board what to do, and we just do that person's bidding. Well, our current mayor, it's not his leadership style. Mm-hmm. His leadership style was to get the best people mm-hmm. and say, I trust you guys to mm-hmm. implement. Now look, gave us the high vision, 20,000. All right, what is our goal and what is our portion of that? And that's where we spent a lot of time when we started working on the strategic plan. Mm-hmm. And that's where we found that, hey, the strategic plan had kind of already been worked on before we came on, and it was good. Most of it we adopted. But we did also say, hey, we need to elevate one of those goals to the level that we are going to hold ourselves accountable to, which is we have to communicate better, yeah. right? To her point, I spend a lot of time saying, wow, it's difficult for me to understand what you guys do. And I spend a lot of my volunteer time trying to do it. So it shouldn't be that complicated. And now that I've spent the time with it, oh yeah, Atlanta Housing is the gold standard as it relates to housing authorities in this country. Mm-hmm. We don't say it that way. And sometimes we do, we compare ourselves to other agencies. So could I say we're the gold standard of all agencies in the city? We're going to get there. We may not be there today, but if you went to any housing authority and talk to them when in the conferences, they come over and they bow down to Atlanta Housing.
I'll put my housing authority against your
That's
housing
right.
authority.
100%. 100%. And we come, I want to say this too, when we come in mass. We come prepared to show up the way Absolutely. Atlanta shows up. We influence everything. Everybody knows yeah. that phrase. We do influence everything, particularly as it relates to housing.
Well, we had the president. We had Eugene, and he was talking about how others come to Atlanta
that's
for
right.
training
that's right.
and ideas and insight.
That's right.
And so I think that's just a wonderful thing for us to know, mm-hmm. right? For us to know that we're on top of it. Atlanta Housing really is at the forefront. But what do you guys think the biggest challenges for the future of affordability in Atlanta are?
You know, I had a chance to talk about this on Saturday. And if you go to Home Depot, there's not an aisle that says this is lumber for an affordable housing, for affordable housing project. That lumber is going to cost the same, mm-hmm. whether you're putting it in an affordable housing product or whether you're putting it in a market rate product. And in this environment that we're in, with interest rates literally skyrocketing out of the roof.
You don't need to tell me.
Yeah, I think one of the yeah. biggest challenges for us and opportunities is how we last through this market. Mm-hmm. And when I say opportunities, right now investors are not investing. And the only thing, you'll see a lot of commercial projects that will be on the shelf. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And while I don't think we're at the level we were in the Great Recession, I do think we're going to have to be more creative and innovative as to how we create affordable housing opportunities.
I mean, was it COVID that started the perfect storm, or was the perfect storm brewing before COVID?
I would say it was brewing. And I can say that just from the work I led as the chief housing officer. We're in a challenging environment. And we were in an environment where the market was actually driving the cost. When you think about the rental market in Atlanta, I was speaking with my good friend Clyde Higgs, and the Beltline. The Beltline is a pivotal transformation effort for this city. But when we look at the East Side component of the Beltline, we still have work to do to make sure we create affordability.
Sure.
Because it skyrocketed before we had the right policies in place to protect affordability and to protect the right. And so I think, you know, so it was already skyrocketed. The pandemic, in my opinion, gave affordable housing its conscience, right? Because that's when people started seeing.
Oh, I like that you said that.
Across the country, people started seeing that we have a fundamental problem and we're not looking at housing as a human right.
Yeah.
A fundamental problem.
So you've got inflation.
Mm-hmm.
You've also got population growth.
Yes.
Because coming out of that, a lot of people from the North and from the West said, why am I paying so much to live?
That's right.
I don't even need to go into the office anymore. Mm-hmm. So they moved to the Southeast region. And meanwhile, folks living in the Atlanta area want to get out on 285 with signs and say, we're full. Mm-hmm. We're full. That's we can't even afford it. We're full.
That's right.
But welcome to Atlanta.
Welcome. I think there's a t-shirt.
That's right.
It says we're full.
Listen, for me, as a real estate broker, obviously, we love the growth. We do love the growth. But even we are experiencing it because there aren't houses to sell.
Yeah.
There aren't property. There's just not enough, right?
Yeah.
So then you start seeing bidding wars
at
every price point. I had a client last year who paid over $200,000 more than asking price.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they could afford it, but they needed it for their family. They had five children. It broke my heart.
Yeah.
But that is where we found ourselves, just to get some place with good schools.
Sure.
You know?
Well, I mean, I think you bring up an interesting point. So we joke about we full, right? But Atlanta really isn't full. It's really lots of land that can be developed. And I think the point that was made is that it's difficult in the space of affordability to, with interest rates, with the cost of the supply chain and how it's driven up things, that the creative uses, you know, as I've seen the difference between how a deal was put together well before I got here, two or three partners could put money in a deal and manage that process. Today, we're trying to be creative and innovative about 12, 13 partners. And if one of them pulls out, the thread of that can halt a project that really needs to be done and really needs to keep pace with all those people that want to come to this city. So there's space for them. We own land. We're trying to utilize that land.
Right.
The problem that we have right now is that it has become cost prohibitive to really do that in a way that serves the need that's there.
Sure. So we've got the government funding. What are some alternative forms of funding, Larry?
Well, we are going through lots of things. We're tapping the philanthropic community. We're tapping nonprofit. We're tapping government. I've started to communicate, and I think this spoke to that last goal that Terry was mentioning around partnerships, that sometimes we think of the partnerships as simply, hey, I want you to help us with curriculum, with training, lots of areas. We're now basically saying to the Coca-Colas and the Deltas of the world, hey, guess what? This affordability issue affects you, affects your workforce. And so guess what? We don't need book bags. Right, we do want them, so I don't want to.
Thank you.
I want to throw that away.
Bags, right?
I want. Thank you for the book bags. I just want to say, but there's also 10 million and 20 million that we need in this capital stack, right? And so we need to make sure that it's clear to them on how that benefits them in the long term, and that those things that we've typically allowed to be the things that we give thanks for from those kind of corporations, we're like, no, well, there's some root cause issues that we really need your help on.
Yeah, these big companies, you want to attract good talent.
That's
you want the talent to stay.
And that's why they're here.
And feel comfortable and nurtured by the city. They've got to be able to afford to live here.
That's right.
So it reverberates throughout everything.
But we also want the big companies to hire our folks.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah. That part.
And so when you think about, and this is what I think about every day, if I'm thinking about 20,000 units, Atlanta Housing having the opportunity to influence that by 10,000 units, that's 10,000 families. Those families, I want to make an opportunity for those families to elevate themselves from the economic standpoint. And so, you know, a lot, we talked about homeownership. Of the 10,000 units, I believe about 15% will be made available for homeownership. The rest is really rental. Mm-hmm. And so I want to recycle those rental opportunities. I want to make sure that the residents we're serving have access to workforce development opportunities so that we can make sure that they are creating a level of sustainability, economic sustainability, and will not have to always rely on some level of public assistance.
And can I just add one little note to that?
Sure.
She brings up a point that's great, and I want to put a finer point on it, which is our housing is, I mean, for seniors and for disabled, you know, citizens, and our residents, they'll be in our housing, you know, for through the end of life. And we're prepared for that. But we want this housing to be an instrument for more than just who's there, right? We haven't opened up our wait list for 7 or 8 years, yeah. And it's frozen because we can't recycle it. And we need to be able to recycle mm-hmm. our housing so that everybody gets to benefit mm-hmm. from it that needs mm-hmm. it. It is to be an instrument to move you out and mm-hmm. up into market rate or to home ownership. And so the process of that is something we're also being very thoughtful of now, in that it's not just having great housing. We do that. We have mm-hmm. quality housing. We do that well. But it's also all those elements that says this should be a way station for people to say, hey, I moved in. I brought the footprint of that a single parent with two or three children and saying, hey, good, we're going to use this, but at some point, we want you to graduate out.
The goal is to get out.
So that other women who yeah. have those same sure. challenges get to benefit from it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that let me add, because that speaks to who we are as an agency, right? So a typical housing authority exists to provide rental assistance. Right, under their annual contribution contract with HUD, mm-hmm. they have the ability to provide rental assistance, which in the old days we used to call Section 8. Now it's called Housing Choice Voucher Program. Mm-hmm. Atlanta not only has that responsibility, but we have a special designation called Moving to Work, which gives us the ability to utilize our resources, not just for rental assistance, but also for services for our family, for development opportunity. Mm-hmm. And we can kind of stretch ourselves in a very innovative way to serve the city because of that special designation. But if we digress back to the Housing Choice Voucher Program that the chairman was speaking of, we have access to, let's say, 23,000 vouchers. So the poverty rate in our city is right around 18%. So with our current population, that equates to about 70,000 people. So that's 70,000 people that are literally making less than $26,000 a year. We know that Atlanta Housing, through our Housing Choice Voucher Program, which provides rental assistance where a family has to pay no more than 30% of their income for housing, we know that we only have access to about 23,000 vouchers. And so that literally leaves a gap
yeah.
of about 50,000 or more people.
It's just scratching the surface.
And so the question for us is, one, we want to make sure that we're providing rental assistance to those families, that they're in decent, safe, and affordable housing, and that they're in housing close to amenities, but we also want to get them to a level of self-sufficiency
so
they can cycle out of the yeah. program
right.
and that we can help the next family. Mm-hmm. Because right. if not, if we're not making sure our families have a pathway to success, then we're literally just serving the same families over and over again. And it's not to graduate a family for the program so we can say, so long, see you later. It's really so that we can help make sure that we're able to help the next person and that we continue to keep you in the Atlanta Housing Alumni Society, mm-hmm. right? We're not going to leave you, but we need to be able to provide the rental assistance to the next family.
Sure, sure. And what do you want to add to that, Larry?
Yeah, I would just say that I think when you started this, you said, well, what does the board really do? What role do we play?
I didn't say it like that.
Yeah, you didn't say it like that. You didn't give me nickname like Cho.
No,
but, you know, we'll talk about that after the show.
I'm the Cho.
Yeah, I see. I got it. I need something
you're the Cobb, chair of board.
Let's work on that.
It's not as powerful as Joe. I get it.
Because you put some bass in your voice when you say it, Joe. So let's get to the heart of the matter for us and what we do. And that is that it's important to understand that I think when we talked about innovation, Atlanta Housing, the first housing developments were in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So Techwood and University Homes. Techwood for whites next to Georgia Tech, mm-hmm. University Homes for Blacks by the AUC Center. That was 1.0, what I call 1.0 of housing. And that was adopted across the country. 2.0 was changing Techwood into Centennial Place.
Sure.
So putting in different income levels, all the things that a neighborhood needs in the same place. That was started as 2.0 and has now been the model that has been modeled all over the country. What I think 3.0 is, and where I think as a board we want to start leading from a vision perspective, is that there's a neighborhood health component that must be included. Because we now, I think we got it. We can build on a plot of land what's necessary in order to have safe, quality housing. Mm-hmm. But what we don't do, and what we haven't been as intentional, and why we need partners to work with us, is to say we need a school in that area, we need a bank in that area, we need a food desert to be solved, we need safety plans, all those things that make a whole neighborhood.
The actual community.
Yeah, because where we serve, typically, if you just take some of these health indexes, are neighborhoods that are considered unhealthy. And so what we, if you just put one piece into it, yeah, it'll be great for 5, 10 years, but 30, 40 years of disinvestment or no investment means that we'll just be repeating this cycle over again.
When you say unhealthy, do you mean the type of establishments that are around there are just unhealthy?
I mean unhealthy.
Or do you mean unhealthy mean it does not sustain a community?
It does not sustain
a community.
Meaning I don't have access to fresh, healthy food. I was just talking about doing some volunteering this morning at a place called The Grocery Spot, which gives food. But they're there and they exist because there isn't a Publix or a Kroger or any kind of healthy food around them. And for people who, at that income level that we just talked about, I mean, you know, car, may not have it, right? Walking, trying to get to those places. If you're disabled, if you're in a wheelchair and you're trying to get to healthy food, and just the cost of food, right? Yeah. I mean, you can see, we've just talked about inflation. So think about what that looks like when milk and eggs.
$10.
Bacon, you know, all the things, right, that we enjoy, they cannot enjoy in that same way unless you provide those things in a place that is connected to transit, connected to a neighborhood, having health, education system, having good schools. I mean, those are things we sacrifice. A lot of those things they've been sacrificing and have been disinvested for so long in the neighborhood. And so I'm just saying the neighborhoods where we have land and where we serve, we need to make sure we go the extra mile. And I want that to be a part of our charge and not that we say, we put our piece in, I hope y'all got the rest, right? No, we need to be partnership and working with partners to say, you need to make sure that these are included in what we're building or else we will lose the value of what we built.
So I think, number one, you guys did a phenomenal job of really defining what that 5-year strategic plan is and helping us to apply it, mm-hmm. to understanding, apply it to our own lives. But also, you hit the nail on the head. Affordable housing is a human rights issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we look at it that way, especially in this country where we're always helping other countries, we're paying our tax dollars to lift up other folks and save them. We need to save ourselves.
That's right.
It is a human rights issue. And I'm just so glad Atlanta Housing is at the forefront of it. I want to thank you guys. Larry, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We had some good conversation today. Yeah. But it doesn't have to stop here. I want you guys to go online, follow on all the social media platforms at Housing Atlanta. Leave us feedback. This is for you. It truly is for you. We want to hear what your thoughts are. We want to hear what you want to learn about. We want to explore. Who else do you want me to talk to? What are the other topics that you need to learn about? As always, for more information, for programs and resources, you can go to atlantahousing.org. We want to thank you for listening. Thank you for watching this episode of Atlanta Housing's Unlocked.